Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is the house that God has provided and for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Our text this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. It's a familiar passage which we have studied before in a different context. But please follow along in your Bibles as I read Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And then they climbed into the boat, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his holy word. How do we respond? What should our reaction be? When our world shakes after a catastrophic event occurs, we are in shock. And shock takes over our very being. And how we as Christians react to such aftershock is absolutely vital. The earthquake in Haiti measured 7.0 on the Richter scale. The death toll to date is 230,000 and still climbing. It is expected many more deaths will be confirmed. Now, the character of a man or woman is measured in response that such person manifests in relation to a tragedy. We are all shaken at times by extraordinary events in a powerful way, which leave us quaking and crumble. And even if you have not faced such a tragedy to date, you probably will in the future. And when we see the graphic pictures of devastation and death from Haiti over the past few weeks, it brings to mind the despair of events like 9/11, the Asian tsunami, and Hurricane Katrina. And I firmly believe there is a prophetic message in these events. The Bible states we should view such disasters as signs of the end times. God's word has specific mention about earthquakes, saying they will increase in frequency and intensity as the end nears. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says about the end of age that there will be famines and earthquakes in various or diverse places. We'll talk about diverse places. Haiti is not on the Pacific Rim or the Ring of Fire where major earthquakes are known or expected to occur. This quake was the first earthquake in over 200 years in the Caribbean. It is the most powerful earthquake in the history of the little nation of Haiti. These people are used to hurricanes threatening their homes and their lives, not earthquakes, and many of them did not believe that it would happen in Haiti. And America, I truly believe, is in the same boat. America appears to be asking for God's judgment. We have thrown morality out the window and thrown God under the bus. And we need to be asking ourselves, what if it were us? Or maybe the better question is not if so much as when it is us. We should not be surprised if another catastrophe occurs in America, and it could affect us personally. We could be involved in an earthquake, an act of terrorism. There could be complete financial collapse in this country, how close we came to it before. Or there could be some other event we never even imagined would happen. And the aftershocks of this earthquake and the shocks from the devastation it produced have been intense in Haiti, to say the least. And people there have responded to the shock in different ways. People all over the world have responded in different ways. The proper response when shock has rattled our lives. And I want us to consider five appropriate responses set forth in our text which we need to make when we are confronted with such circumstances. The first appropriate response when tragedy or when shock rattles our lives is to have faith in God. Do not respond in fear. In our text, verse 26, we read, they, meaning the disciples, cried out in fear. Verse 27, Jesus said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Verse 30, but when he, Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid. And verse 31, Jesus said, you, speaking to Peter, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I'm not suggesting that we should not express concern and uncertainty when tragedy strikes. I'm saying that fear is not the spiritual response to such circumstances. We read in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Fear does not, and it cannot, comfort anyone. It only produces more anxiety and more distress. As we have observed from the horror present on the faces of the Haitians, we have each sympathized with them. And this is what we as Christians and as children of God should do. We should have a loving, compassionate response. But as Christians, we should not be so naive as to overlook the fact that the worst is still yet to come for this world. So many people that I talk to, either on a level of witnessing to them or just in everyday conversation, still don't get it. They still don't believe that God's judgment will come to this world or to particularly to this country. But it's coming. Yet we must not allow fear to reign during the time of crisis. There's no answer in fear. Only in faith can we find the answer for us. We are commanded to keep the faith, especially in times of when crises or disaster strikes. And that's precisely the time that most people give up on God and head for the hills. We're good at being fair weather Christians. We're good at praying when things are going along well. We're good at coming to church when the bills are being paid and we've got a good job and we got two cars and a nice home. It's when times get tough, when disaster strikes, that we then give up on God and either think we can fix it ourselves or go stick a head in a hole and hope that it'll pass. In our text, Jesus told Peter he had little faith because Peter looked at the wind and was afraid instead of looking at Jesus and being saved. Listen to what Jesus said when the disciples first saw him walking towards them on the water. "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Be assured that God is in Haiti. He is in the rubble with those who may still be surviving, still clinging to life. He is with the many who have suffered loss of lives and loss of family and loss of possessions. God is ever present with us, especially in these aftershocks of life. God was there on 9/11. He was there on the beaches of Thailand during the tsunami. And he was with us when Katrina ravaged the Gulf Coast. You know, although it's not a popular notion, and it's definitely politically incorrect to say so, I still believe that God uses these events to get our attention. These are labor pains that this world is going through, announcing that we will soon be delivered into God's judgment. So if you are not saved, I pray today that you will respond in faith and not fear and accept God's gift of salvation. The second appropriate response when shock has rattled our lives is to pray, not to panic. Verse 30 of our text states, "But when he," meaning Peter, "saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" How often when panic takes over our lives that we quit praying? Peter was looking to the Lord in faith, yet when he panicked, he began to sink. But when he prayed, when he reached out in faith to Jesus and said, "Save me, Lord," he was rescued. And we must resist the urge to respond to a crisis in panic. We must continue to pray. We must bring all of our concerns and fears about a circumstance to God. He is still in control. He is the one that can make it right. We should continue to pray for those in Haiti. We should continue to support them in any way we can, financially or through sending materials. But we should also continue to pray for America, for us to this very day and for the future that lies ahead. We read in Psalms 91:1, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." It's difficult to see in the shadows, but one thing we should know, that although it's scary there, we should realize the shadow belongs to Jesus. The third appropriate response when shock has rattled our lives is to believe in God and do not blame Him. The earthquake in Haiti was not God's fault, even though we call it an act of God. Yet many will blame God. Many will turn away from God. It's just part of our nature in an attempt to make ourselves feel better in a crisis that we look for someone to blame. If Peter were like more Christians, as he was sinking down in the water, he would have had a look on his face of, Lord, I can't believe you're going to let this happen to me. I can't believe you're going to allow me to sink and drown. But Peter didn't blame Jesus. He looked to Jesus in faith and said, Lord, save me. And Jesus did just that. As is a sin-cursed world, and we are the sinners who cursed it, and therefore bad things are going to happen to us because of sin. You know, it gets old watching Christians become mad at God when things go wrong, and in a twisted way of thinking, they imagine they are punishing God when they quit going to church and quit praying to Him and quit worshiping Him. How idiotic can that be? They're hurting no one but themselves. Whatever has shaken you, God was not at fault. Sin is the culprit. Either your sin or the sin of someone else has brought this catastrophe, this disaster upon you. And God allows it, I believe, for a higher purpose. And we need to believe this fact and not to blame Him and to learn from it. God isn't responsible for our circumstances. He wants to save us from them. And if we give Him the opportunity, He will certainly do just that. We heard a testimony this morning at the fellowship breakfast from a man who just put everything in God. He was an alcoholic. His marriage was falling apart. He ultimately got divorced, and he said, Lord, help me. He didn't blame God. He didn't turn his back on God. He turned to God when he gave his life to Jesus. He said, it's been happy times ever since. Not that bad things don't happen, but he's got the Lord there to guide him through. And it gets old watching Christians getting mad at God. Fourth appropriate response when shock has rattled our lives is do not run, but be available for help. We must not attempt to escape the fire. Let it purify us. We have many references in the Bible and getting out the impurities, and that we need to allow that to happen to us, the God to come in our life and to purify us. So don't attempt to escape from reality. Embrace this our circumstances as a lesson and as a call from God to do something. This earthquake in Haiti is an opportunity for us to learn and to help others. We must respond like Peter. Get out of the boat. Be a water walker. Cowering in the hull of the boat is cowering in the hull of the boat during a storm is cowardly. It's time to step out. There's a job to do. People to save. Life preservers to cast upon the water. Anchors to set. Sails to trim. Rudders to steer. And opportunities to make a difference in the lives of others. And the fifth appropriate response when shock has rattled our lives is to be assured and not angry. God's word teaches us that God does not make mistakes. God always does the right thing. Therefore, our anger must not be directed towards Him. We must thank God for giving us the ability to overcome sin. We must be mad at the sin in this world. We must be mad at the sin in our life. And we must take God's answer for that sin. And that is faith in Jesus Christ. And rid ourselves of that sin and try to help others to do the same. God is still on the throne. God is in control. Peter's trouble began when he looked at the wind in fear. Yet when he turned to God and Jesus in faith, he rose above the storm. The wind and the waves which seem over our heads are merely under Jesus' feet. Think about that. Jesus was walking on the water, and those waves that were coming over Peter were merely at Jesus' feet. And he will help us. He will save us. People in general have a problem. We want to feel good. And we need to believe all is well when all is not. Does that mean we go around with a pessimistic attitude and the glass is always half empty attitude? No. But we let God in. We let him tell us how to handle a situation. Please understand, bad things do happen, whether you're a Christian or not. But God is good. We learn that in the nursery. God is good. And if God can be trusted with our souls, he certainly can be trusted with everything from our feet on up. So what should we do when the aftershocks of tragic events in life disrupt our lives? We should have faith, not fear. We should pray, not panic. We should believe in God and not blame him. And we should not run from tragedies, but learn from them and help those in need. And we should be assured and not angry. Maybe you've been one of those this morning who always get angry at God when bad things happen to you. It's never your fault. It's always God's fault. Why did God let this happen to me? Why didn't God give me that promotion at work? Why didn't God keep him from laying me off? Maybe you haven't prayed in a while. Maybe you just run around in a panic and try to mend it yourself and try to solve the situation yourself and try to deal with the tragedy yourself. Well, you must have faith. And we invite you this morning to let the Holy Spirit into your heart. To let God take control, to let him make the decisions and guide you as to how you should make the decisions in your life. Don't run from the bad things in life thinking that you can outrun them, that you can hide from them. You can't. But you can have on your team the greatest point guard ever, the greatest quarterback ever, to lead you to victory no matter what the opposition, no matter what the odds. And that's Jesus Christ. And we invite you to accept him as your Lord and Savior as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 280, Jesus Keeps.